This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'd like to welcome you to Issues of the Environment. I'm David Fair, and each week we take a look at environmental issues that affect us in Washtenaw County and southeast Michigan. Today, that conversation is focused on lead and lead contamination. Now, of late, most of us associate that with the Flint water crisis, but this has long been an issue when it comes to lead-based paints and the manner in which we become exposed. Finally, the EPA is starting to address lead standards. But is it enough? Our guest this morning is Rebecca Munich, and Rebecca's the deputy director of the Ann Arbor-based Ecology Center, and she's here to discuss a proposed five-year action plan to create a state virtually clean of lead exposure. And we have to start elsewhere. Good morning, and thank you for the time today, Rebecca.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I'm happy to be with you.
Before we get to that action plan that I mentioned, let's set a baseline of sorts. How prevalent is exposure from lead-based paints?
Well, unfortunately, here in Michigan, we have some of the highest rates of children with elevated blood lead levels in the country. And largely that's based on our older housing stock and in some areas deteriorating housing stock and from the lead-based paint in many of our homes across the state. And so when that paint comes off in chips or dust, children can be exposed to that just by crawling around the floor or putting their toys in their mouth and things like that. So it's a serious issue still here in Michigan.
So we have Flint and Flint water on the brain. Are we more likely to be exposed through lead-contaminated dust and soil than we are through the lead from those aging water lines?
Well, that's generally true. However, it's important to consider the fact that in the case of Flint, that lead was actually found in water and contaminated an entire city's population was exposed to lead through their water source. We're learning that in other cities and other places that there's still contamination happening from lead pipes, while in many places you're more likely to have your child exposed to lead paint. We shouldn't let water fall off the radar for families here in Michigan.
It doesn't seem like anybody's going to allow that to happen. But getting back to lead paint, that was banned back in the late 1970s, wasn't it?
It was. Lead was banned in paint and gasoline in the 70s, and those were some of the main sources of lead exposure for quite some time. Actually, lead in gasoline wasn't fully phased out until the mid-1990s, but it started in the 1970s. And in 1978, lead was banned from paint in homes. However, you would still find lead in paint, other types of paint today. So the paint that's used on our roadways or our highways and bridges to paint marine vessels or
just not on our walls.
Just not on our walls in our homes, correct.
And I am assuming, though, that those people who had lead paint originally probably just put a new coat of paint over the old lead paint, and therefore, to some degree, it remains an issue.
This is true, and it's important to think about that because it's one of the best ways to reduce lead exposure is to encapsulate the paint, or as long as it's in good shape, painting over it. But that doesn't always keep there from being lead exposure in the future. It's something that has to be maintained, and you have to paint on a regular basis. So the lead paint, those hazards are lurking under a number of layers of paint sometimes, and you have to keep maintaining that so that it doesn't come out and the dust and chips.
Issues of the Environment and our conversation with Rebecca Munich of the Ecology Center continues on 89.1 WEMU. Rebecca, it's been a long time coming, but the Environmental Protection Agency has sort of been forced to address some lead standards after years of foot dragging. This year it has introduced some proposals for new standards, but environmental and health advocates say it really doesn't go far enough. What would the new standards improve?
Well, the new standards are specifically focused on the lead dust hazard standards. And actually, a number of different national and state environmental organizations had to sue the EPA, originally under the Obama administration, to improve those standards. Historically, for lead dust on floors and windowsills, they had rates of 250 micrograms per square foot for floors and 100 micrograms per square foot on windowsills. And those have been proposed to be greatly reduced to 40 micrograms per square foot for floors and 10 micrograms per square foot on windowsills. And the levels are lower on windowsills because of friction. So you're often having the windows open and close, and if there's lead paint on there, you're going to have a buildup of dust at a greater amount and a greater exposure risk for children there. And then the floors, it's chips that are coming off of you know, doors or windowsills that have fallen to the floor. So that's the standard there. And it's a very good first start.
But not the end goal.
It is not the end goal. It's not getting us to zero exposure. It's not necessarily providing the resources needed to clean up lead hazards in homes. So a lot of other things are needed to both educate the public on what they can do to protect children in their homes, and then resources for landlords or families to be able to remediate lead hazards in their homes.
And that brings us to our next point of conversation. Once again, this is 89.1 WEMU, and you're listening to Issues of the Environment. We're talking lead with Rebecca Munich of the Ecology Center. And at the outset, I mentioned that the Ecology Center does support a five-year action plan that could virtually eliminate exposure to lead. So what's the start point in that plan, and where does the plan come from?
Right. So that plan is from the state's Child Lead Exposure Elimination Commission, which I'm honored to serve on. And that came out of a roadmap that we put together in 2016 to eliminating exposure to lead in the state of Michigan. And we looked at all of the different sources of exposure. So we looked at lead in dust, lead in paint, lead in soil, lead in water, and so on, and air as well. And what we wanted to do is come up with a number of different specific action steps that can be taken. And we went from a roadmap that had over 100 different action steps, and we were able to distill that down to around 50 different specific actions to start working at in the next 5 years. A number of different regulations and policies, funding for lead abatement and testing, looking at enhanced testing of children or of environmental media like soils or homes.
Has a cost analysis been done to determine how much money would be needed to fully implement the five-year plan to effect?
We haven't done that specifically. One of the things that we at the Ecology Center have done previously, looking at what the actual cost of lead exposure is on families and on children as they grow into adulthood. Our most recent study in 2016 found that as a state, we're spending over $270 million a year to address lead poisoning from certain things like the healthcare costs associated with elevated blood lead levels, increased rates of crime and juvenile delinquency associated with them, lowered lifetime earnings, and so on. And what we know is that there's an excellent return on investment for remediating homes that have lead-based hazards. Our study here in Michigan and many national studies have found a high rate of return. So when you have a child who is lead poisoned, around $48,000. So when you're looking at remediating a home, typically the cost is going to be less than that. And once you remediate a home, you're not only protecting that particular child, but when you remove lead hazards, children going into the future as well.
I'm just curious, because we talked about the lead that is still in road paints and all of a variety of other products, and of course in the aging infrastructure that we have, and you mentioned $270 million a year. Mm-hmm. All things being equal, could that touch what is really necessary to fully remediate lead exposure over a period of 5 years' time?
It wouldn't be over a period of 5 years' time necessarily what's proposed here. It's the first steps towards that, and I think that we're looking at a longer period of time and an increase in resources as well. And you're going to have higher expenses at first, of course, because you're going to have many more hazards to clean up. Once you start remediating homes and or remediating soil or removing lead pipes, your costs are going to be higher up front, and then you're going to have that return on investment later.
So what comes next?
One of the things that the commission is just wrapping up was a number of listening sessions with the public, and we've gotten terrific feedback and information from concerned citizens about what they think about the action plan. Some of the things that we have also been able to do and will continue to do are fund a number of different pilot projects, particularly some looking at primary prevention of lead poisoning. What that means is removing lead hazards in the environment or in a home before a child is poisoned. Unfortunately, what we often do is we rely on children to be lead detectors in homes throughout the state. When a child is tested for lead, which is incredibly important, we find out that they have an elevated blood lead level, and then we go in to remediate home.
If you and I get together in August of 2019, what progress do you anticipate will have been made?
a year's time, we will see some more progressive legislation introduced. One of the things that is important is to get more testing of children as well. We only test a fraction of the children that need to be tested for elevated blood lead levels. And so those children who were not reaching are not getting the services they need. Their families aren't aware that there are lead hazards in that. That is continuing. So I expect to see some progress there. I expect that we'll also have some good information out of these first pilot projects where we can see what are some of the best and most effective ways to identify lead hazards in homes and communities, and then connect those families with the services they need and get those hazards out of the home.
Well, Rebecca, let's make sure we do get together and talk about the progress made next year.
Absolutely.
That is Rebecca Munich. Rebecca is Deputy Director of the Ann Arbor-based Ecology Center. To find out more information on today's conversation, visit our website at WEMU.org. Issues of the Environment is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.